sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
There we go. All right. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Before I start the show, I just want to remind you that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 16, 2022. 5:18 p.m. And this episode is brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yes. I mentioned it's October 16, 4 days after October 12th, which is the date, 1492? Christopher Columbus showed up his stank ass, made basically, what's the best word to describe it? Did the unfortunates of humanity cause one of the greatest unfortunates of humanity, and that's show up in the Americas. You know, people that are like so repulsive, so toxic, so awful, and their presence is just the worst thing that can happen to someone. Yeah, that's what, man, fuck Columbus. That's just my fuck Columbus quote for today. Okay, I'm Delane. I'm not Delane, but I'm, well, I kind of Delane. I'm feeling a little jitters about doing this episode again. I don't know what happened. I had a dream that I did this podcast and everything went wrong. That's not true. Okay, no, really what's going on is I think I'm starting a cold. And when I have a cold, I get into this mood where fuck the world, everything stop. The world needs to stop. Spin like the war in Ukraine, inflation, whatever the fuck, gas prices. Fuck that. None of that shit matters. I want the whole world to focus on the fact that I'm starting a cold. What I can tell you, it's not COVID. I did one of those tests. Well, I did one of them, just one. There was a pack of five. I wonder if I should have did like three of them, just best out of three type of thing like that. But yeah, no, I did the test, and according to this thing, I'm good to go. All right. First item. Okay, new listeners. Shut Up Podcast is like my journal, my soapbox. And usually I break down these segments into, first you have the intro, which I'm doing right now, This Week in Therapy, which I just share some personal thoughts. Actually, it's more specific thoughts, and the last segment is Random Thoughts, where I'm all over the place. So buckle up for the ride, buckle up. All right, so before I start, let me talk to you about the title. It was a doozer. I didn't know what to go with, but I think I decided to go with my mind on my peace. As in, my mind on my peace and my peace on my mind. My mind on my money and my money on my mind. Yeah, I just thought it sounded like peace. People think that I'm talking about like a gun, but I'm really talking about peace. And it's just how I'm at a point in my life where I've learned the value of my inner peace. And it's gotten to the point where I will, I'm more loyal to my inner peace than I am to any friendship, any relationship that I have. I'll put it this way. I worship my inner peace more than I worship, like, they used to say that, you know, Jesus is like the most important thing in the world. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Nah, no, I'm going with inner peace. White Jesus takes a backseat to that shit. But that's a longer story. Now, the reason why I'm going with inner peace is because I recently discovered, well, let me start with, you know those moments when you discover a new song or a new artist and you are like obsessed with this artist, you're obsessed with this song, you're looking up lyrics, you want to know more about them. Like, I remember when I discovered Talal Macy, the poet, and yeah, my world changed. It's like your world changes after that moment. Talal, I remember Nas. What came first, the Illmatic or Nas? What did I hear about first? I might have been Illmatic. Tupac. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? Damn. This is what I get for trying to preserve my batteries. So the energy in my batteries are like, I think they need to be replaced, but we'll see. One more time. This headphone fucks with me, and then I'm going to replace the battery inside of it. But yeah, until now. Yeah, I'm trying to create the setting. When was the last time you discovered, I was going to say art, but no, it's got to be music. If you're a music lover like me, you discovered a new artist and you were like, who is this person? I need to know everything about them. And you just like have their album on repeat. Well, I didn't think it was possible for someone like that to still exist, for moments like these to still happen for me in my older age. And the artist who I'm going to brag about is, and what's funny is this person would probably be shy about what I'm about to say. Well, you know, because she just sounded humble. That's my point. Through her music, oh my God. Yeah, her music is humble. Wow. Delay after delay. Yeah. The artist's name is Tony Jones. And the song that I made me fall in love with this artist was Energy Budget. I just sent a shout out to Tidal, my discovery. Tidal has this playlist where I think that their AI thinks, yeah, we think he's going to like this kind of stuff. He's gonna like this shit, right? And it's been hit and miss with Tidal, man. I gotta tell you, they've been fucking up more times than like, it's rare that I go through their entire playlist without hitting the skip button or being like, you know what? I think I'm gonna cancel my subscription with these assholes because they're not doing this shit right. Anyways, so was it Friday? Yeah, it was on Friday, and Tidal was like, "Whoa, on fire that day." And then one of the songs on the playlist was "Energy Budget" by Tony Jones. Now, at first, the beat. I'm trying to describe where was I when this moment happened? I'm trying to remember. Of course, I wasn't in the moment. Yeah, because I was complaining about work. But what makes this song special is Energy Budget is about how exactly I didn't write this shit down. How do I describe it? Energy Budget. Okay, I will off the cuff. Essentially, she's just talking about how, okay, this song should be an anthem for people for the givers in the world. You know that saying that givers versus takers? Givers need to be careful about giving because takers aren't ashamed to just take. Yeah, so this song is for the givers in the world who will share money, time, resource, and energy are willing to share the most, one of the most valuable, oh man, she's got a perfect word for it. One of the most valuable resource that they have, which is their energy. And some people are just fucking vampires. You just like to, like, for them, our relationship is just sucking the energy out of the other person. In my family, actually, you know what? This, I don't want to shit on my family here, but that's not the point. But I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up with the idea that it was my responsibility to tolerate shitty people, people who are just bad behavior, tolerate bad behavior, energy suckers. And it's like, sometimes I think people who love to suck people's energy become Christian because they find the givers who believe that it's their responsibility. Well, since I have this abundance of energy, it's my responsibility to share it with them. I'm only bringing up family because I'm thinking of how I have some relative. Most of my energy goes into repairing our relationships. It's like some of them just, it's as if for them it's the point of a relationship is to push people away. Is to push people away, and then once they leave you alone, complain about it. Make a point about it. Like it's like fighting people, a lot of energy is being used to repair bonds. To like, you're fighting with someone who's constantly pushing you away, and that's where what I'm saying is, energy is wasted with these individuals. It's not being rejuvenated. Speaking of energy, you know what? I'm going to take a, hold on a second. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break here. It's not really a break. I'm just going to change batteries in my headphones. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm going to change batteries in my headphones. I'll be right back. You know what? And we're back. Yes. You probably didn't notice anything, but okay, let me make sure I hit the record button. That'd be funny. Right, where was I? Yeah, wasting energy. Yeah, the batteries in my headphones were dying. Speaking of wasting energy, and a professional thing to do would have probably been replacing the battery every episode instead of waiting for it to die. Anyway, this is where I'm not going. Anyways, yeah. So some people, I think they're. Oh my God, the song "Energy Budget." Yes. I've been surrounded with people who are supposed to be, who are loved ones, and all they know to do is just, like, that's, it's, I don't know if it's intentional, unintentional, or whatever, doesn't matter, but the point is, they just suck the energy out of you. And this song is pretty much like an affirmation, mantra, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's, she's affirming, saying all the, how do I describe it? Basically, it's a lot of declarations being said in this song, and it's, I'm budgeting my energy. I took a lot of notes, man. There's a lot of fucking bars in this song, man. Instead of going through the long list, these were like other candidates for title for this episode. There's like learning how to interpret people's energy. I am learning how to interpret people's energy. Emitting my own frequencies. My energy is my truest wealth. Gotta watch my budget. Yeah, it's that last line is gotta watch my budget. And it was just, the whole track just reminded me of my journey to preserve my inner peace and not feeling guilty about it. I mean, fuck it, man. I'm like, you know, I ain't trying to go into heaven anymore. I'm trying to, fuck it. I'm kind of hoping to go to my grave, you know, feeling inner peace. That doesn't sound, man, that doesn't make any sense, but fuck y'all. It makes sense to me. That's what matters. This track is filled with bars, man. And, so after discovering this song, I've had this song on repeat. I ended up checking out her website, her album. You know what's interesting is I wanted to find the lyrics for this song and I couldn't find it. And through her website, I realized that, no, she's making her the lyrics for her songs are available in a book that you can purchase from her. And this, in the description, she talks about how she wanted people to have that same experience you felt when you bought a new CD, a new tape, new record, and the artist would have the kindness to put the lyrics in there so you can read along. And her lyrics are very powerful. They're like powerful affirmations. So she put it in a book. And at first, I was like, I ain't paying all that. I ain't going to pay all that. But now I'm like, this is like the kind of art. Usually when I fall in love with an artist, first thing I do is I purchase their album. I purchase their work. Since there's no CD to buy, I guess I am going to buy that booklet of hers and run through it. But very powerful artist. I got to admit, part of me was, one thing I like to do is I like to smoke weed and listen to an album because I feel like that's how I surrender myself to the artist, their words, the music, and everything. Like I'm analyzing their work I'm in the studio with them, watching, deciding what they were doing. Yeah, and giving them a high five, saying, "Yo, this shit's gonna rock." Anyways, yeah. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, I had this thought while high, and I was like, "What if she's the kind of person? Like, is this?" Like, I'm going to praise this artist, and then later I'm going to watch a movie, and they're going to say, and there's going to be like a cuckoo character, and they're going to say, oh, she's a fan of Tony Jones. Meaning I can see, because she's, I can see her being, she makes spiritual music, and I can see her being the representative of people that you consider to be like cuckoo, but that's the fucking point. What I like about her, it's like, yo, man, I am who I am, and fuck it. If some people don't accept me, then they can kiss my ass. She doesn't use those words, but it's the takeaway. It's like, it's rare to have someone encourage you to be who you're meant to be. You know, it's like, it's just, I found listening to her music, I found like a certain freedom adopting. Basically, life's been feeling like, listening to her music has made this fucking journey through life slightly a bit more enjoyable. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm trying to say. That I am very grateful for this artist. Very grateful she was published. Very grateful that I discovered her. And like I said, yeah, it's like falling in love. Not that I know anything about it, but I mean falling in love with a new artist. I didn't think it could happen again. And yeah, here I am praising the work of this great human being. What else I wanted to say? Yeah, man. Her music reminds me of, like, her voice. I don't know if you're familiar. Okay, I don't know if I've ever told you about King Kimbit. She's a local artist. And there's a similarity in the way in expression. She's like, there's a combination between, and content too, because King Kimbit, like when her content is like grown folks music, should I say? Combination of King Kimbit. Yes, the last time I felt this way was when I discovered Erykah Badu. Yeah, it's a combination of Erykah Badu. Yeah, that, what is it, On and On? What's the name of that first album by Erykah Badu? Is it On and On? All I remember is, I was working on an assignment, and I had that whole album on repeat the whole night. I was up to 3 in the morning and crunching on some assignment. You know what? I think I probably 4 in the morning. I remember typing, sun going down and the sun going back up, and on playing in the background. You know what? Hold on a second. Let me, Erykah Badu. I get the feel I'm going to go over an hour with this episode just because I got a lot on my mind. Funny is, I didn't think I had a lot on my mind when I first started out. Yeah, so Erykah Badu, name of her first album. Sorry to all you. Baduism. Yes. Baduism was debut album. Yes. Okay. And I had Baduism playing in the background. So Erykah Badu mixed with a bit of Yolanda Vazant? Yeah. I keep fucking up the pronunciation of her name, but yes. All I know is, I remember as I was preparing for this episode, heard this album. After hearing the album, I remember telling myself there's no fucking possible way I'm doing episode 22 and not making some kind of reference to Energy Budget by Tony Jones. So yeah, if you're into that kind of music, you know, I recommend checking it out. I get it's not for everyone. I was going to make a joke about, you know, if you're into this kind of music, you're not going to like it. Now, I don't know. All I know is I remember being a kid. I used to be younger, early 20s, very early 20s, out of college. And I was big on, I think I'd recently discovered Les Brown, the motivational speaker. And that just put me on this, that I think I wanted to be a motivational speaker. So I was collecting a lot of self-help books and all that shit. And, I remember I started making mixtapes because back in those days, we didn't have CDs. You young kids don't know how good y'all got it. Anyway, yeah, so I'm making a mixtape and I called it Positive Thinking Mixing Tape. And the idea was I was just trying to take songs by artists saying positive shit, like uplifting shit, like self-help shit. And, you know, Sounds of Blackness, you can win as long as you keep your head to the sky. Yes. Ooh. Okay, the meters are fucking up. Yeah, they sing it way better than I just did. But yeah, so I had songs like that on the mixtape. And the idea was just to get me thinking more positively and shit like that. And Homegirl's album is exactly what Positive Thinking Mixing Tape was supposed to be about. But I recommend it. If you're into, if you're looking for some uplifting grown-up music, Be Black Shut Up Podcast endorses Energy Budget by Tony Jones, which is off her album, Affirmation, I believe. Come on, B. Where is it? Yeah, Tony Jones. Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's pretty. Sorry, I'm on her website and the background image of herself, and she's a fine looking woman. What's the name of the album? Oh my God, B. Come on, you were just listening to it. I See Me Mantras. That's the name of the album. Yeah, I was shocked to find out that she had two other albums. Yeah, her first album was called Affirmation. Affirmation for the Grown Ass Woman. The one I just discovered is called I See Me Mantras. And her latest release is called Me Versus Every. Oh, wow. Me Versus Me. Affirmation of Self-Love. What? Anyway, man. So, yeah, that's my recommended pick of the day. Okay. All right. Let's move on there. Move on. That was a long-ass intro, but she deserved it. Did I mention I have a cold? I might be starting a cold. So, yeah. I am entitled to all pity. All right, where were we? Okay, this week in therapy. So, therapy and podcasting. First item I have on the... by the way, did I mention if you go to shutuppodcast.com and go through the show notes, you'll be able to see what I'm going to talk about. Like, I list it up, and I put links to to what influence... basically, the show notes. It's all in the show notes. All this stuff is in the show notes, and a guide to... what I talk about is on listed on there. So, so this section is called Therapy and Podcasting. For those of you who don't know, be shocked. Like, you know, if this is your first episode, I'm a fan of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. As a matter of fact, on the list of podcasts that I would credit that got me into podcasting, I would say, I'm not sure which order, but definitely Combat Jack. R.I.P. Reggie Osei, Mr. Combat Jack himself, and The Black Guy Who Tips. What's funny about The Black Guy Who Tips is how the idea of podcasting started out when I was listening to their podcast and I kept promoting it to my friends. And of course, you know, fucking friends, the podcast was you. And I'm like, I ain't going to listen to this podcast. Whatever. I couldn't get any of my friends to listen to it. And then it hit me. I was thinking of all the energy I was putting into pushing the podcast they weren't going to listen to, and it hit me. I'm like, why don't I start my own podcast? The punchline is, like, all the energy I was putting into getting them to listen to check this shit out, I was like, well, fuck, since I might as well put that same energy in my own podcast since I'm going to get the same results. Anyway, Doesn't matter. Yeah, and it was okay. That's I'm distracted. So in one of their episodes, actually in one of their premium episodes, I told you I'm a fan of the podcast. I think it's called Pregame. Yeah, Rod and Karen were discussing finding a therapist. I think Karen was talking about how she was on a journey to finding a therapist. And then through that discussion, Rod mentioned something that got my attention. That really got my attention. He talks about, well, one is apparently there's a craze among podcasters to discuss their therapy sessions on their podcast. Funny, I thought that was some new shit. Most of the podcasts I listen to, they don't discuss their therapy session. I mean, yeah, I thought that was a new idea, but whatever. Apparently, a lot of podcasters, it's not just me, a lot of podcasters like to discuss their therapy session on, that's their episode. Two, and this is the part that got my attention, is he actually disagreed with that notion. He actually didn't he didn't think it was a good idea, people sharing details about their therapy session. I think Rod is in therapy himself too, and every once in a while hold on a second, Google is the FBI is tapping my telephone. Anyway, yeah, where was I? Yeah, Rod was discussing how he didn't think it was a good idea for people to discuss their therapy session. Now, at first I was bothered by it, by him saying that, because, well, essentially, I felt like he was saying he disagreed with how I do the same thing on my podcast. But I get the feeling that I need to have a longer conversation with But I think what he's really saying is, or the way I understood it, the part he disagrees with is, you're going to therapy to heal. And essentially doing anything that gets in the way of the intention for going into therapy is not, like, one example he used is how he, people would, I'm trying to think about, yeah, my therapist thinks I'm a good person. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Essentially said, well, sharing sensitive shit on the internet, and then you're just opening yourself up, because there's a lot of shitty people out there and who do not have your best interests. And I think that's what he was talking about. Well, okay, this is me discussing feelings. At first it bothered me when he initially disagreed. I thought he was saying, yeah, man, fuck that, man. You motherfuckers are crazy. he was saying, don't share your thoughts on your podcast. Don't share your therapy sessions on your podcast. And I gotta say, I'm thinking about the first time, podcast is a new thing, right? So the first time I started to listen to the Black Isle Tiff, now I should mention that I've been listening to them since episode something in the 300-ish, in the 300, like I've been for a while there, for a long time listener, and they're in the 2000s right now, and episode 2000-something, whatever. And but in the early days, I remember enjoying the podcast and having this pastor church member relationship with this guy, because just again, grew up in a church, and it was just it felt like I was listening to a pastor. So I tend to take his thoughts very seriously, his opinions very seriously. But I do know that like in the early days, it was, again, grew up in a church, and the idea was, you know, your pastor did all the thinking for you. So if pastor told you to trust the big button to smile, then you had to trust the big button to smile. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, your pastor talked to fucking Jesus, man. How the fuck is he going to get life wrong? Anyway, yeah. So it took me a while before I realized that, you know what? I think I could do my own thinking. I think I'm going to start doing my own thinking and just take what pastor says as, is the expression grain of salt? Whatever. Like, you know, like not the gospel, like it's not actually the Almighty speaking through him, whatever, he's just a human being. So I remember the first time he mentioned that, yeah, it's a bad idea getting back in that mode of being like, oh shit, Pastor Rod just said that I shouldn't do what I'm doing. And then the second is, that's really right, but I think that's the main reason I'm bringing it up is because how I felt in that particular moment. But yeah, no, homie's a reasonable guy. But I think what he's saying, maybe, you know what, maybe I should write about that. Anyways, yeah, that's the other problem I have is every time I want to write to his show because they have a feedback section, I procrastinate. Like in my brain, if my brain had like a draft folder of emails I needed to write, that shit would be packed. And a lot of it would be emails I keep meaning to send to the black guy who tips. Anyways, so getting back to my thing. So, I just got me thinking. That's really what I'm trying to say. It really just got me thinking about why I started this podcast. Because initially it was to share my what goes on in my therapy sessions. But not in details. It's more like, my first time doing therapy, I had a friend who, she was in therapy. She's been in therapy for a while. And she was just like, I didn't call her that, but she was like my unofficial therapy buddy. And how I would just, like, after a session, like, you just had so many thoughts and you just want to share it with someone. Like, she was just the person I would exchange ideas with. And, hey, today in therapy, I did this, did that, blah, 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 to talk and all that kind of thing. So, then, you know, then we stopped doing that, having these sessions, and I felt like, you know, I had shit to share, and this is what this podcast became, is a place where I can share ideas. But it's true. It doesn't make sense to, let me put it this way. You're going to therapy to address your temper, right? And you're on your podcast discussing all these great ideas about to address your temper, you know, all these techniques and shit like that. But you don't apply any of this shit. Like, it's easier to talk about it than it is to apply it. So I can understand that point. I agree with this point is I don't want to be like those pastors, like any pastor, who like preach the gospel but don't live it. So I get that point. I get that. But it just had me thinking, man. His thoughts about podcasting and therapy session just made me more mindful of not doing what they do. I guess, yeah, that's what it comes down to. Like, I'm kind of hoping someone who's timid about therapy listens to me speak openly about my own therapy session and will use that, will inspire themselves to be like, you know what, maybe therapy's not that big of a deal. I think, yeah, it was like, I think watching, I'm also a fan of The Sopranos, the TV show, and watching James Gandolfini, his characters, Mr. Soprano, Tony Soprano, go into therapy, I think I felt it kind of normalized therapy sessions for me. It's like, you know, it's not such a weird thing. It's not that taboo. Granted, there are people I would not tell about these therapy sessions. What are the odds of them listening to this podcast? But, you know, it's just because I don't think I'll have a mature conversation or any productive conversation about it. I don't think there'll be a fair exchange of energy if we had a discussion about my therapy sessions. So that's why I don't tell them, just because, you know, fuck it. Well, you have all the answers. I ain't gonna tell you shit. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I know. It just had me thinking, man. It had me wondering about how open you should be about your therapy session. I was actually at a dinner party on Monday, celebrating Indigenous Day. The people I was at, they were likely celebrating Thanksgiving, but I was commemorating Indigenous Day, and I just realized how I don't, in that party, okay, we were just 1, 2, 4 people, and I just thinking about how I don't get out much these days. I don't know, since lockdown, I just, again, very mindful of my inner peace, of my energy. And I keep to myself a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. And that party is probably the most, okay, aside from work, that party is probably the closest I have to being around a crowd. This is the closest. And I remember, because, you know, I don't have a lot going on in my life, but I, at some point I was just talking and I nearly, a part of me nearly said, yeah, I'm doing therapy. And just like as a casual conversation, and something stopped me. It's like, I don't know these people. I mean, I do, but I don't, kind of like that. Like, I don't know. Some people might feel awkward about the idea of being in therapy. Like, I remember, I'm thinking of this one ex, and she just dropped the name therapist on me. And then she worried. She's like, oh, I don't want you to have a bad impression of me. And, I didn't. What gave me a bad impression of her was, that, you know, later finding out that she's a bitch. But that's another story. When I say a bitch, an asshole, she was a terrible human being. She was a bad person. You know, I'm sure Jesus loves her. But then, oh, my God. Trigger. Come back, bitch. Come back. But I'm saying her having, okay, I'm being honest here. When she first said, I have a therapist, I think my mind went into, does this mean you're crazy? The answer is yes, but not because she had a therapist. I make my own self laugh. Yes. Okay. So, I guess what I'm saying is some people feel weirded, get weirded out when you, I don't know. It's not my job to make other people feel comfortable, but I don't know. I guess it comes back to what I said earlier is I'm very mindful of the energy of the frequency that I emit, that I put out there. And telling them about, you know, therapy session could go good, could go away, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I heard some, there are chicks out there, chicks who dig guys who are in therapy. But, as tempting as that sounds, I don't know if I want to hook up, yeah, this is where I would agree with Rod. Like, if I'm on this podcast, just sharing my views about therapy, hoping that some woman's going to be like, oh my God, I am all tingling inside. I need to meet the host of this podcast. Yeah. Then, yeah, I would agree. That's a no-no. Therapy and Tony Jones energy budget. I mean, Tony Jones, I See Me Mantra album, both have me on this journey into living into a more authentic self. Like, that's the new cool for me. Like, trying to be the realer me. Like, if I go to my grave, I want to go to my grave not being a fake ass version of myself, but the real shit. So yeah, no, I mean, you know, if you're using therapy to pick up chicks, that's you're not being authentic. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Older me, yeah, I would have loved to have used that to any gimmick. Older me would have used any gimmick to pick up women, to not just pick up women, because, you know, I wasn't trying to get in a relationship. It was just, you know, yeah, hit it and quit it. So, yeah, older me did stupid shit like renting cars. Maxed out his credit cards. Just it never worked. Okay, I'll give you some. It never worked. But just to convince some chick that I'm better than who I actually am. But yes, using your using therapy to pick up chicks. Yeah, it's not a good idea. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like being honest with yourself, man. Maybe that's what Rod's point was about. It's just, you're on a journey to heal, to being your more authentic self, and you're online on Twitter. My therapist told me that I needed to forgive more often. I don't know. It's just not something that, it's just not. Look, I just like, when I discuss my therapy sessions, it's more because of some great idea that came out from it. But it is true. I am on a journey to heal. I'm on a journey. I call it fix myself. She would disagree. My therapist would disagree that I'm not being fixed, but whatever. Like, I'm on a journey here. I'm on a journey to be on a more authentic self. And yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I'm going to be more mindful about that. Yes. Okay, I got to get into random thoughts, but felt the need, like, fix in terms of things of fixing myself, but I'm gonna make this a topic for another episode, and it's the idea of. I had a dream this week that I had I did an episode and with Desus and Mero. I miss those guys, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I accept that they've broken up, but I'm saying I still miss those guys. And I had a dream that I had Desus and Mero on my podcast. And I remember that feeling of, yo, this show is the best show ever until I woke up. And then it just, that moment when I woke up, that moment of like the confidence was gone. It went from this show's going to be awesome to realizing it's just me on this podcast made me realize, how do people do it, man? How do people, the idea of having your own back is like foreign to me. So that's what I mean when I'm trying to be fixed in therapy. Because the idea, like, are human beings born to love themselves? Like, is self-hate something that is nurtured or something that is nature? Because to me, it feels like normal to hate yourself, to not believe in your own self. I wonder if Desus and Mero, Talal and Macy's, Rod and Karen, Nas, Tupac, Jay-Z, Biggie, Sugar Sammy, Chris Rock. I say a lot of names, right? But artists that, like, you know, that I really enjoyed their work. If they had moments like I have of being like, yo, this shit sucks. Ain't nobody trying to hear this shit. Fuck you thinking. Kill yourself, man. Delete that shit right now. Like, it's hard for me to believe those people had those moments. Nas has a line on, what's the name of that song? I forget the name of the song. But he's got a line that goes, back in 83, I was an MC sparking. But I was too scared to grab the mics in the parking, kick my little raps because I thought niggas wouldn't understand. And now at every jam, I'm the motherfucking man. Anyway, yeah, I fucked up that flow. But yeah, but the point is, the idea, like, he says that when he was starting out as an MC, he was scared to go to the parks and share his rhymes. I'm like, I can't see it, man. How the fuck do you not know you're about to spit go? Like, when you recorded New York State of Mind, talking about, I don't know what I'm going to say, and then you, rappers are monkey flipping, I forget the composition, position, Scarface, kicking cocaine, was in the M60, anyways, yeah, how do you not know in that moment you are spitting fire, anyways, yeah, and I think it's the idea of them having faith in their whole, in their own skills, that's like foreign to me, like, is that, I'm kind of hoping one day I'll grow up and be like those people and be one of those people who like could look at his own art and say, you know what? It's as good as it's going to get. Believe in yourself. Yeah. The idea of believing yourself is like, wow. Again, I blame Christianity. I spent all my energy believing in a white man, blonde hair, blue eye, born from virgin birth, talking snake, motherfucking Bible. But I was supposed to believe in that, but believing in yourself? Nah, man. Nah, that's forbidden. That's forbidden. Anyways, all right, okay. That was a long ass this week of therapy. So let's just jump into random thoughts. By the way, I am looking for ways to, what the fuck? Hold on, I'm trying to get the text. Oh, just a second. Control Z. There we go. All right. God bless Control Z. I deleted my text. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking for some way to, like, some kind of sound to say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this. Okay. This concludes this segment. Now let's move on to the new one. Yay! Like, I need a sound to break that up. I'm working on that, man. I'll get back to you on that one. Okay. This week, things that I discovered. Today... Kanye is trending on Twitter again, but I'm not going to click on that shit because fuck, you know, I'm done. Okay, I'm lying. I did click on it on Twitter to figure out why he's trending. And of course, he's sending some more bullshit. But that's who he is. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is I discovered this. Actually, I follow him on Twitter. His name is K5 Signifier. Or at FD Singifier. And he's a content creator. And wise man, wise young man. Wise young man. I say young man because he talked about how he was just reaching 30s. I'm like, whoa, oh my God, fuck, I'm the old guy in the club now. Anyway, yeah, so that's not the point. Yeah, one, discovered his content. Two, I'm like, damn, this dude is giving me ideas. And I think that's how this podcast grows, is I discovered people on the internet doing shit that I like, and then try to figure out how to adopt some of the things they do right and integrate it in my podcast. But okay, here's where I'm getting at. This dude had a two-part series about the tragedy of Kanye West. And every episode was like an hour and a half or something like that. And I listened to the whole shit. I don't believe I did that. Usually it's rare. It's rare that there's... It's the first time on YouTube, in my history of consuming YouTube shit, that I discovered something that had me so engaged. So, anyways, he's an intelligent man. He put a lot of thought into this topic. And essentially, he just explains how, yo, it's okay to miss Kanye. It's okay to, like, having difficulty to let go of the guy because he meant something to us. So much. Anyways, this man articulated my thoughts, feelings, what's going on with Kanye. And I love how he ended. He concludes the whole segment with, I don't know how to react to Kanye. I don't have any right answers. But one thing I will say is I'm thinking about people with mental health problems and who have done like shitty things. Like in Canada, we had this story about this dude who was on a Greyhound bus and he chopped the head off one of the passengers. And and then when he went to court, the judge was like, mental health issues. Like he basically said he was insane. And everyone in Canada, I was pissed by that news. But okay, where I'm getting at is, I think that's what Kanye is. You want to be mad at him. I mean, okay, I want to be clear that I'm not telling you how to feel when it comes to Kanye. Whatever you feel, that's your business. You want to diss him? Go ahead and diss him, whatever. I'm just saying that when he said that slavery is a choice thing, yes, I wanted to throw rocks at the dude, man. I want to stone this motherfucker, not in a good way. Good old-fashioned stoning, man. Bring back public hanging or whatever. However we punish coons, black people decide to punish the traitors in our people. Let's do that. Bring on the Black Sun Riders. Anyways, yeah. Off with his head. Anyway, whatever. I'm saying, but listening to him just FD Singifier, Mr. Singifier, and explain the tragedy, because essentially it's a tragedy of Kanye West, like making sense out of this shit and everything. It made me, yes, it did make me sympathetic, but it also made me like, a lot to think about, man. I guess I'm saying if the mob decides to burn him at the stake, I'm going to be like, yeah, it's a shame. It's a fucking shame. But I'm still going to remember the good side about him, even though he's like spiraling into fucking oblivion. I don't know what the fuck, man, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not very good, man. So, I don't have anything to say except that, yeah, no, the only positive in this part is discovering K-Fob Singifier, and I'm grateful for the content that he created. Like, I wonder, K-Fob Singifier and that shit he created about, it's going to be in the notes, man. I recommend it if you want to learn more about the tragedy of Kanye West. I recommend it, man. Next, what else do I got? We're running late here. Okay. Something else that happened this week is, Russia warned citizen. Okay. I have an article, a piece about, actually I saw the video and then I found the article on Newsweek and the title goes, Russia warns citizens about black gay people if they flee the country. Now, you know, I'm just going to describe it. So Russia has, like, what's it called? The video is ludicrous. Okay, the video is broken up. Okay, who made this video? A warning fleeing Russia of imagined interactions in America that is circling, excuse me, the pro-Kremlin telegram. Okay, long story short is, you know, because Putin's losing his mind. He's in the middle of a war and he's losing. So he's trying to recruit more people into his fucking army. And people are leaving, like I would do. Fuck that, man. I'm too old to be in the army. But yeah, people are leaving the country. So he figures the one way to address the country is by throwing commercials to say, yo, out there is worse. But one of the commercials that he showed, and again, it's in the show notes. It's a three-part. There's three parts in there. I don't know if there's three separate commercials. I'm assuming it was three different commercials. But one of them is, okay, one of them is basically it's some homophobic shit. He's trying to scare people about, yeah, don't go to America. They do shit like accept gay people, whatever, right? And then, or don't go to America. They don't let you eat beef because, you know, the vegetarians run shit there. But my favorite one is don't go to America because black people run things. Black people. And the way the clip goes is there's a Russian couple, and they're on the plane, and they're saying, yeah, we're fighting, we're leaving Mother Russia. And, you know, and the wife goes, you know, you think it's a good idea to leave? And then the husband's like, shut up, bitch. You're going where the fuck I'm going. Oh, I should be. Okay, he doesn't say that, but this is me. He doesn't say that. But the whole thing is in Russian, their language, their native language. And this is like the translation that I'm basing this on. Anyway, so they're on a plane, and there's a scene where the man goes to the washroom, and there's a lineup for the washroom, and then this black dude cuts in line to go to the washroom. And the Russian guy, you know, he says, hey, buddy, you know, again, this is in their own language, and I'm just paraphrasing here, and he goes, yeah, man, hey, buddy, fucking line's at the back. And you can tell he wants to drop the N-word, but it's like, you know, you whatever. He goes, the line's in the back. And the black guy, who doesn't sound like an African American or doesn't have the accent of an African American, sounds more like from one of some countries, some English speaking country in Africa. And he says, I'm trying to go to the toilet, something like that. I'm trying to go to the washroom. And then the stewardess jumps in and says, hey, what's the problem? And the guy says, yo, this dude's trying to cut in line. And the student said, and you think that's a problem? and then some other white guy jumps in and goes, hey, we have to let them do that because their people have been oppressed. So we need to let them, you know, let them walk all over us. And then everyone, all these white people, like get on their knees and to allow this black guy to go forth. And and the look on the black guy's face was like, yeah, that's right, cracker, that's right, that's exactly, reparation. Anyway, yeah, and then, because that's what black people want, and then he gets to cut into the washroom. I can see how that could scare white folks. I mean, that's got to be the one that scared folks. Okay, the only reason I brought this shit up is it's just another reminder of here's what they think about you. Ice Cube, here's what they think about you. If you've listened to Ice Cube's America's Most Wanted album, there's a line where one of his track, he keeps repeating the line, here's what they think about you. I'm offended. I won't lie, man. That commercial of, look, man, I can't control white people's perception. we can't even control. Yeah, we can't. Okay, it's not about control, but I'm saying, I can't control white people's perception, so I shouldn't allow this shit to bother me. But it still does. It bothers me the same way when I started watching Planet of the Apes, the movie, and watching Planet of the Apes, and then watching this talking gorilla, talking monkey, and shit like that. I'm like, I bet you that's how white people see black people, man. That's what we are to them, man. A bunch of talking monkeys. Anyway, so the idea that like, I really don't want to get in the mind of a white person, but the idea that that's what black people want, man. We want to do the exact same thing white people did to us, and worse, like cut in line to get in the washroom. And I don't know, man. That shit is so fucking insulting, man. It's man, fuck Mother Russia, man. Seriously, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, not all Russians. Okay, fuck Putin. Fuck Putin as a staff, record label is on the motherfucking crew. If you wouldn't be down with Putin, then fuck you too. Except the poor soldiers were forced to fight in a fight that in a war that they don't want to fight in. But yeah, man, I, this shit insulted me, man. That's really what I'm trying to say. It'll be in the show notes. You'll for your own enjoyment, man. Yeah, man. Oh, right. Okay. I'm bringing this up about how, oh, I forgot to bring up the quote. Speaking of how white people see black people, I got to share this Malcolm X here. Let me go. Malcolm X. Ah, racist. Okay. Oh, because I pressed the letter Q. Oh, okay. Let me turn this motherfucker off. Remove hotkey. There we go. Okay. Thank God. Okay, I'm laughing because every time I press the letter Q, it plays one of my sound effects, which is not the intention. Hold on. Oh. Yes, I'm really uncomfortable in this seat. At some point, I'm going to have to ask you people for some donations because my equipment is very uncomfortable. Right, where was I? Malcolm X, quote, white liberals. Yes. So, there's a... Oh, fuck that. Okay, that's a long... I ain't trying to read all this shit. Okay, so there's a... I was on, I discovered some tweet, and essentially it's, doesn't matter. The point is how someone was using a quote by Malcolm X where he talks about, there we go, I found it. He talks about the white liberals, and these fucking idiots used it to, you know, yeah, you fucking wokeness. It's, yeah, it's basically to diss white liberals. And the quote goes, the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. The white liberal is the worst enemy to America and the worst enemy to the black man. Now, actually, it was a black guy who shared this to say that, you know, white liberals suck, and but, you know, but Trump and them, they're better. And I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to say, I replied to this comment. I'm saying, yo, you fucking idiots don't get it, man. When Malcolm said white liberals ain't shit, y'all need to know that he wasn't a fan of white people, man. He was like, white people are trying to use it to like, see, white liberals, Malcolm X would have voted for Malcolm, for Trump. No, man. And here's the thing. Malcolm was in a point in his life where he didn't trust any white person. Sure, he was civil with them, but he did not have faith in the in white people's humanity, in their ability to be fucking human beings. Maybe they could be humans to each other, but not to the rest of the world. Like, Malcolm saw white people as the fucking devil. Not just, like, the devil white people tell you doesn't exist. Like worse than what's imagined. Like, we were lied to. We were told that Jesus, devil, Lucifer, shit like that. Nah, the real Lucifer, the real devil, the real evil that exists in this universe is white people. He believed in that shit. So him saying white liberals are the worst, he's saying, yes, you rather have there's the enemy that, you know, that calls you the N-word, and then there's the enemy who becomes your friend and calls you the N-word behind his back. That's what he meant about white liberal. My point is, dear white people, do not fucking use a Malcolm X quote as a way to say, hey, these white people are worse than me. He's talking about, no, I'm a better white person than that person. Nah, man. Back then, he didn't like any of y'all. Don't take it personal. But anyway, I put that in the, and I remember replying with that quote, you know, and I put feelings in there. Yeah, man. He saw y'all as the devil. Fucking Yakubian. You're like a product of Yakub, whatever, man. Fucking cave dwellers and shit like that. Anyways, yeah. He didn't have a lot of regards for the humanity of white people. I mean, not just savages, but like, look, man, like, it's, think of, yeah, Kaiser Sose. Like, white people made a point in this world, you know, after Columbus, after they came in. Yo, Columbus came, saw the natives who were kind to him and saw that shit as weakness. And then fucking brought sheer hell to those people. Like Columbus was a symbol of white. What I'm saying, like, it's not weird for a black man to believe or for someone to grow up with the notion that, you know, white people ain't that cool. I only bring this up because when I made that comment, someone replied with, oh, that's why Malcolm X was the most racist of them all. And it just had me thinking about how white people might enjoy being white, but they really do not like to put any thoughts into what it means to be white. Like, black people, that's what we do. We know what it means to be black. It means code switching. It means turning down, you know, it's being hella polite when you get pulled over by the cops. It means someone might be uncomfortable by your presence. It means that some idiot thinks that you can dance. You know what I mean? White people don't. It's amazing how, like, I'm on this journey to understanding white people. Like, I do not claim to understand. Like, I have no idea what it's like to be white. But one thing I know for sure is, fuck, white fragility is for real. And white people do not like to think about what it means to be white. Yeah, anyway, yeah, lingering thought. Okay, all right. A little lighter side, I'm not going to go long on this one, is so in Ottawa, we have municipal elections coming up. I guess I could have done some early voting, but fuck that. I'm a procrastinator till I die. Anyway, yeah, I think election day is on the 24th. And I think I know who I'm going to vote for. I'm voting for the one candidate that pissed off the convoy when they were around. That person, her name is something McKenna, whatever. Oh, should I tell you people who I'm voting for? Is that, am I going to get in trouble? Whatever. Shut Up Podcast is endorsing. Look. Sorry, whatever. Fuck it, man. Who I'm struggling with is our... Councilor, city councilor, who to vote for, like, I watched the debate. I'm getting old when I'm watching city council debates. There was a time where I walked in, when it came to municipal election, I didn't give a fuck. I walked in, flipped the coin, voted for the one who had the coolest name or whatever. But now I'm like, I'm kind of pissed. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm amazed at the services that I get from the city. That's probably because, you know, my parents come from underdeveloped country. And it's like, oh, shit, running water. Holy fuck. You know what I mean? It's a big, like, you know, it's, I can't, there's not a lot of things I can complain about my city. But I am pissed with the way they handled the O-Train. The O-Train is our public transportation that we got going in our city. Anyways. I didn't know I needed to vote for someone who was qualified for the fucking job or could do shit like read a fucking contract. Like, we hired, our city hired, I don't believe I'm doing this discussion, but our city hired some company to build us a subway / train in our city. And these guys been doing a shitty job. And when it came time to renegotiate their contract, like, you know, you do a shitty job, you're fired. Yeah, no, we rehired these motherfuckers. So I'm like, so I'm pissed. I need to send a message to City Hall to say I'm pissed. That's really, I'm going in the voting booth. And I just want to send a message to say I'm an angry voter. Problem is, I haven't figured out how to do that. We got this one lady who's on there, and she's like, what's her name? I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, she's like, you can tell she took media training. And, oh, she's the only one who took media training. Like, she's fucking good. She's like, you can tell she's got a budget for her campaign. She's doing it right. Problem with her is she used to work for the last lady who was a city councilor. And I'm pissed. What I'm trying to say is the one person who looks qualified for the job is the person that I want to punish. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know. The only reason I bring up municipal election is because I watched the city councilor debate. That's really where this is going. I'm like shocked at myself. I'm like, fuck. I don't know if it's growth or if I'm like getting soft here or some shit like that. But yeah. I don't know. Next week, Who knows? I'll probably have some better news about, wait, next week, next episode. Oh, it will be the week of the election. So, yeah, who knows? I'll let you know who I voted for later, afterwards. Another thing I've been doing this week is I've been watching poker tutorials. I should start by saying, like, look, man, A is because I'm desperate for a new hobby. And also, it's like I want to learn something. And, I just Googled. I'm blank when it comes to poker. I have no idea how this game is played. Oh, I know what happened. There was a video early this week where a woman is playing poker, basically wins. She wins. And the guy at the table, the look on his face is like, holy fuck. It's like someone kicked him in. I can't explain the look on his expression on his face. But the caption kept saying, guy freaks out because accuses the woman of cheating and shit like that. What? I didn't see anything like that. But his facial expression looked like this bitch was not supposed to win. Like the look on his face. And the woman was just like, kept saying shit, bro, you keep letting me do this to you. You know, like I knew you were gonna play that hand and whatever, blah, 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 and all that. Word on the street is that shit is like one big ass commercial for their company, but that's another story. But my point is, I remember the look on homie's face and the part in my mind, it's like, what just happened? I mean, I know the woman won, but what exactly? Why does he think she cheated? What exactly? I was just curious to find out the mechanics to what led to this situation. And next thing, long story short, I'm watching poker tutorials. I'm watching poker tutorials. One of the tutorials that I watch is from a website that does online pokers. And I'll give credit to these guys. It was the one site that helped me understand the game. Like, they put a lot of thought into their explanation. And it hit me. Of course, these guys want new customers. They want new suckers on their thing. But what got me the most about this poker tutorial is how it reminded me of our school education. In that, they taught me just enough for me to play the game. Just like school. They teach you just enough for you to play this fucking game. Not how to have an advantage or anything like that. Just enough so you can be another sucker playing this fucking game. There's a relationship between... Of course, yeah, there's a relationship between... There's a link between... There's even a joke between poker tutorials and my school education. I just got to figure out how to make a joke out of it. All right, last topic. So for this one, it's probably a bit of words of wisdom by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it's a YouTube clip, and he talks about how he made it through calculus. I'm going to play it and then share some thoughts, and that will be it. All right? Okay. Here you go. Again, link to this clip is in the show notes. Here goes.
Get through it. I don't want to quite call it elevated to the level of a parable, but it's a story in my life that I reference all the time. And I'll share it with you. It's short. I'm in high school. I'm junior in high school. And I'm going to take calculus. Now, if you didn't know, calculus is way different. Way more different from algebra.
Way more different.
Than algebra is from arithmetic.
Preach, brother.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So whatever it took you to get from arithmetic to algebra, what, X? Mm-hmm. What number is it? Well, it could be any number. How could it be any number? It's in the equation. It's got to be a number. These are the transitions from arithmetic to algebra. The transition from algebra to calculus is more, okay? So that's why it's generally not taught in high school. It's a college thing, and even then, you wouldn't necessarily have it. So I'm handed the calculus book, and I open a page in the front cover, and there are these equations. And they're using squiggly lines I had never seen before. Half the Greek alphabet is in there. I said, I don't know what this is.
I know what he's saying.
Oh, I don't. And I said, I will never learn this. Uh-huh. That's what I said. That's what I felt. I said to this, but I need to know this because the universe is speaking this language. I'm screaming at you. Sorry. Is the sound levels okay? Sorry. Okay. All right. The sound.
You're excited. This is good. This is
you
good.
Started this.
Yes.
All right. So I said, all right, one step at a time. So after the first week of class, I took a peek, still nothing. After 3 weeks and a month, open up the side of the book and say, hey, I know that equation. I used that the other day. That's good. I like that. And then as the weeks went on, it was as though this fog began to dissipate. It didn't lift, because that implies you now you see and now you don't and now you do. It just dissipated. It became more and more transparent. And by month three, month four, every one of these equations became my friends. Mm-hmm. I said, I want them. In fact, give me more. And that is my measure of what I need to do if I encounter something which in that moment I do not understand. Is that any worse than you coming upon a book of Mandarin and you don't know any Chinese characters? You say, I don't know any of this. Yeah, except 1.5 billion people in the world speak it. So it can't be impossible to learn. Mm-hmm. So you put in the time. And slowly some of the characters, that means a human, or that's a home, or that's a food. And all of a sudden the characters start making sense. It's not really any different from that. Mm-hmm. And too many people think that they got to know something instantly in order to ever be good at it. Rather than want to achieve something, realize there are these hurdles, work at it. Mm-hmm. And every bit of yourself you invest helps to dissipate that fog.
Mm-hmm.
And the more badly you want to get there, the more you will work to dissipate that fog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me, and I've invoked that ever since.
Yeah, and then the love with that, too. The more badly you want to get there, and
the
you
love.
Better
you got,
love it, too.
You got to love it. Otherwise, what's going to keep you going?
Yeah.
And don't hesitate to ask for help.
you
know? I've been tutored.
That's what you sound like my mother right
okay,
now.
Okay, all right.
There. Ask for some help. Yeah.
Okay. I've tutored people in my life in physics and in math. I've been tutored through it.
I don't think I can add to it. Just he's got me thinking about how me trying to learn poker, me trying to learn self-love, me trying to learn how to do a podcast that was better than the last podcast I did is my calculus at the moment. That's my calculus. By the way, what he said about calculus, that fucking course, I ended up, I took a bit of calculus in high school, then I took it in a university class after, the shit was fucking hard, but I got a B+, that's my point. But I like the idea of light at the end of the tunnel. That's really, really what I just wanted to share this as your encouragement to finding, to seeking that light at the end of the tunnel. All right. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast, episode 22. My mind on my peace, and my peace on my mind. If you want to holler at me. I'm on Twitter at @bblizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And to subscribe, now, not just the RSS, not just the RSS feed on the website, but you can find us on, you can find me on YouTube. I'm fucking high. Did I mention I had a cold? You can find me on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Yeah, one of the two. I'll be on the other one. Yeah, one of those two. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.